Welcome to EarnestlyContendingForTheFaith.com. Today we're going to be presenting our fourth in a series of six lessons on titled Israel, the Palestinians, and the Church. Now, last time we dealt with the issue of replacement theology and also with the nature of God's covenants with Israel. And today what we're going to answer is the question of this question here. Is the Abrahamic covenant still in force? Now, how you interpret Bible prophecy will depend on how you view the Abrahamic covenant. How you interpret the Abrahamic covenants will determine how you apply the scriptures to Israel and to the church. Many who believe that God has set aside the covenants with Israel believe that the promises given to Israel have been transferred to the church. They say the church, they see the church as having replaced Israel in God's plan. People that believe this way are called replacement theologians. The question is, are God's covenants with Israel still in force? There are at least six covenants that God has established in the Bible that are still in effect, including the Noahic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the seed covenant, the Canaan land covenant, the Davidic covenant, and the new covenant. The Abrahamic covenant is composed of the seed covenant, the Canaan land covenant, the Davidic covenant, and the new covenant. To decide whether the covenant still apply to Israel, we must answer two questions. Number one, were the covenants unconditional? And number two, were the covenants stated by God to be everlasting or forever? An unconditional covenant is based upon the I will of God. In an unconditional covenant, the fulfillment of the covenant is not conditioned upon the obedience of man. The conditional covenant is based upon if man will, God will scenario. Of the six covenants included above, the only conditional covenant was the Mosaic covenant. For the Christian, the penalties of the Mosaic covenant have been set aside in the Lord Jesus Christ. Although the Mosaic covenant was specifically given to Israel, its contents is written into the consciousness of all of mankind. The Mosaic covenant is the standard of condemnation to all mankind. The Noahic covenant is an unconditional covenant that does not require the participation of mankind. The Noahic covenant was God's unconditional, everlasting covenant with all of mankind that he would never entirely flood the earth again. The Abrahamic covenant is an unconditional covenant that God made with Abraham. The covenant is unconditional because Abraham could do nothing to ensure or hinder its fulfillment. However, the covenant could not come into force until Abraham believed God and left Ur of the Chaldees. By faith, Abraham became a partaker of the covenant. The covenant of salvation, which is a part of the seed covenant, is also an everlasting, unconditional covenant. The salvation covenant cannot come into effect for men or women until they believe God. By faith, Christians become partakers of the covenant, of that covenant. Salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ is the standard of redemption for all of mankind. Every covenant included in the Abrahamic covenant is unconditional because the fulfillment of these covenants depends solely upon the faithfulness of God. There is no action or lack thereof by mankind that can make void the covenants. However, continued participation in the blessings of those covenants is based upon Israel's obedience to the Mosaic covenant. Now, what about the question of whether these covenants are everlasting? If the covenants are described as everlasting by God in the Bible, that means they will continue forever. If that is not so, then there are many assumptions that we could make, including number one, God did not know what the word everlasting meant. Number two, God confused the church and Israel. Number three, God did not know the future. Number four, God was deceived. Number five, God lied to us. Number six, God did not know what Israel was going to do. How outrageous does all that sound, folks? And it is outrageous. The list could go on and on, but I believe that the point has been made. God knew exactly what Israel was going to do, and yet God called these covenants everlasting. Now, there are at least 34 passages of Scripture in the Old Testament that state the everlasting nature of the Abrahamic covenants and its companion covenants. I'm going to read every one of those, and we're going to call them out and identify them as to which portion of that covenant that passage of Scriptures apply to. We'll go to Genesis chapter 13, verse 15, and this verse applies to the Canaan land covenant, and that verse says, "For all the land which thou seest, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed forever." Emphasize forever there. And then in Genesis chapter 17, verse 7, we have the Abrahamic covenant, and it states this, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee." Note once again that it is an everlasting covenant. In Genesis 17, verse 8, we again have the Canaan land covenant. Verse 8 says this, "And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." There it is again. It is an everlasting possession, and that means it's without end, folks. Genesis 17, verse 13. This one deals with the circumcision as the seal of the covenant. Genesis 17, 13 says this, "He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant." And note in that passage of Scripture, not only is it stated that it is an everlasting covenant, but God also states that it is His covenant. So mankind has nothing to do with whether, there's no conditions put upon it as to whether or not it will be fulfilled. In Genesis chapter 48, verse 4, we have both the seed portion of the four-part Abrahamic covenant and the Canaan land covenant. And remember, the seed covenant deals with both the physical seed and the spiritual seed, whereas the Canaan land covenant dealt with the land itself. Genesis 48, verse 4 says this, "And he said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession." There it's called an everlasting possession again. We hear it again and again. And then, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 31, we have all of the Abrahamic covenants that are addressed. And that verse says, "For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he swore unto them," or which he swore unto them. So it says that that God would not forget that covenant, and that deals with all of them. Now in Judges chapter 2, we have a restatement, if you will, of the land covenant that was a part of that Abrahamic covenant. And it says this in verse 1 of Judges chapter 2. and an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and I have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Let me restate that one again. He says, I will never break my covenant with you. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 13, we have a restatement of the Davidic covenant, and I want to remind you that that Davidic covenant dealt with the throne that is established in Jerusalem forever. And there is coming a time when the Lord Jesus Christ will sit upon that literal throne in the literal city of Jerusalem and rule and reign. And that is the what we call the Davidic covenant. And 2 Samuel 7 verse 13 states this, He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And then in 2 Samuel 7, verse 16, we again have a restatement of the Davidic covenant. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 24, note that we're... three of these are right here in 2 Samuel chapter 7. But in verse 24, we again see the seed covenant promised. That verse says, For thou hast confirmed thy... let's start over. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people, Israel, to be a people unto thee forever. And thou, Lord, art become their God. Note that it says that it has been confirmed to Israel to be a people forever. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 5, we see again a presentation of the Davidic covenant. Verse 5, Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. So that's a restatement of the Davidic kingdom. And in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 45, we again see the Davidic covenant presented. Verse 45 states this, And King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. I want you to note that it's using the term throne there. Could make a difference in how you could interpret some passages of Scripture. And then up in 1 Kings chapter 9, we see that the Davidic covenant was taken from Solomon, but that it's still in force. Should note that. Verse 5 says, Then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, There shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. First Chronicles chapter 16, verses through 18, deals again with the Davidic covenant, taken from Solomon, but still in force. Verse 15 says, Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of his oath unto Isaac. And he hath confirmed that same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, Unto thee I will give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. And then in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, we see the Davidic covenant again. Says that in verse 12, we'll read verses 12 through 14. Verse 12 says, He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy away from him, as I took it from him that was before thee. But I will settle him in mine house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established for evermore. Notice the constant theme of this is everlasting or forevermore in all of these covenants. And then in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 2 through 7, we have the Davidic covenant shows up again. Let's start in verse 2. Then David the king stood up on his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren, and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war, and hast shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be a king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgment as at this day." That's a very powerful passage of scripture there. And you'll notice that there were some limitations put upon Solomon because he said again that he would make Solomon his son. That's a very powerful passage of scripture. Now in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 18, we have the Davidic covenant again presented. Verse 18 says this, "Then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, There shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel." Then in 2 Chronicles chapter 13 verse 5, we have the Davidic covenant again presented. And as a reminder to you, again, that Davidic covenant deals with the throne itself, with a sitting king. Verse 5, "Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom of Israel to David forever, even to him and his sons by a covenant of salt?" Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 7, deals with the land. It is the Canaan land portion of that covenant. Verse 7 says this, "Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever?" So that, once again, is dealing with the land portion of that four-part covenant. Then we have Psalm 89, verses 3 and 4, which deal with both the seed portion of the covenant and the Davidic covenant. Verse 3, "I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and build upon thy throne to all generations. Selah." Psalm 89, verses 28 through 36. And once again, we have both the seed covenant and the Davidic covenant. "My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the things that is gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. This question of whether or not the disobedience of Israel would set aside the covenant is really addressed very strongly in verse 33 there, where it says, nevertheless, when he talks about them getting into transgression and iniquity, in other words, got into sin, God says, nevertheless, even if they get into sin, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break. And then in verse 36, it says that his seed shall endure forever. And folks, I don't know how we could state it any clearer than that. But we're going to continue on here in Psalm 105, verses 8 through 11. We deal with every aspect of the Abrahamic covenant. And let's read starting in verse number 8. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee, will I give the land of Canaan the lot of your inheritance. And then in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7, we see another presentation of the Davidic covenant, and where we see its ultimate fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that Isaiah chapter 9 is about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the type, or David was a type of Christ, if you will. And the promises that were given to David are ultimately fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, who will rule and reign on that throne of David. But let's read it in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. It says this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So we see a direct statement there that the Lord Jesus Christ will fulfill that portion of the Davidic covenant in himself. Now in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 17, we have a presentation of the new covenant, which is a part of that Abrahamic covenant. And verse 17 says this, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed or confounded, world without end. And then in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 3, we again have the new covenant. It says this, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 21, we again see a restatement of the Canaan land covenant, or the land portion of that covenant promise that was given to Abraham. Isaiah 60 verse 21 says this, thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Note that the Lord there says that the land is the branch of his planting, the work of his hands, and so that he might be glorified in it. And then in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 8, we have again a presentation of the new covenant. Verse 8 says, "For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them." And then in Jeremiah chapter 22, Jeremiah 25, verses 4 and 5, we have again the Canaan land covenant presented to the prophet Jeremiah. Verse 4 states this, "And the Lord has sent unto you all his servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear. They said, Turn ye again now every one from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given thee unto you and to your fathers forever and ever." Note that that promise is repeated in the context of God rebuking the sin of the nation of Israel. And he is stated, even in the midst of that, of their bad conduct, their disobedience, that that covenant is forever and ever. And then in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 40, we have a presentation of the seed covenant, the new covenant, and also the Canaan land covenants. And we're going to go and read that passage of scripture and start in verse 31. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the seas when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those orders depart from me, depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the city shall be built to the Lord from the tower of Hananeel unto the gate of the corner. And the measuring line shall yet go forth over against it upon the hill Gareb, and shall compass about to Goeth. And the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes and of all the fields unto the brook Kidron, unto the corner of the horse gate toward the east, shall be holy unto the Lord. It shall not be plucked up nor thrown down any more forever." Note in that passage of scripture that God stated some impossibilities of things that were going to happen, the sun going away, the moon and the stars going away. What he stated is that if those things could go away, then his covenants with Israel would become void. But they're not going to go away. That is a sure promise that God will be faithful to the promise that he has made under his unconditional everlasting covenants. And then in Jeremiah chapter 32, again, we have another presentation of the new covenant in verses 37 through 41. starting in verse 37, "Behold, I will gather them out of all countries whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath. And I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul." Now to Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 20 through 26, where we see both the seed covenant and the Davidic covenant dealt with. Starting in verse 20, "Thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, Considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying, The two families which the Lord hath chosen, he hath even cast them off. Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them." Once again, a very strong statement where he states that night and day and the lights of night and day and the stars and the sun would go away before that covenant would be broken. Folks, that's a very, very strong statement once again. And next we're going to go into the book of Ezekiel. And you'll notice as we progress through this, there's just about every major book in the Old Testament deal with this concept of the everlasting covenants that God has established with the nation of Israel and its seed, and also with King David and the throne. Let's read in Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 60 through 63, and we're talking about the new covenant in this passage. "Nevertheless, will I remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. Then thou shalt remember thy ways and be ashamed, and when thou shalt receive thy sisters, thine elder and thy younger, I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not by thy covenant. And I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, that thou mayest remember and be confounded and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame, when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord God." Once again, the everlasting nature of that covenant is mentioned. And then in Ezekiel 37, verses 15 through 28, we have a presentation of the seed covenant, the new covenant, and the Davidic covenant. So there's three different aspects of that Abrahamic covenant presented in Ezekiel 37. Let's go and read Ezekiel 37, verses 15 through 28. "The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah, and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and I will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before thy eyes. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and I will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. That's been 34 separate passages of scripture where we have dealt with the covenants that God has established with the nation of Israel. And there's a highly repetitive nature of that, the use of the phrase everlasting, forever and ever, forevermore, and so forth like that. That means, folks, that those covenants are still in effect. And I'd ask you this question. Is there any question after the 34 passage that we have just read of the everlasting nature of those covenants? And like I said, we have cited 34 groups of Old Testament scriptures that prove the everlasting nature of each and every covenant under the Abrahamic covenant. We didn't just address one part of it, but all four of those covenants are in the passages of scripture that we've read and briefly described, address that everlasting nature. I would ask you this question. What does the word everlasting mean? The last I checked, it meant never ending. And by the way, your Bible does make a distinction between the word eternal and everlasting. Eternal is something that has no beginning and no end. Everlasting is something that has a beginning but no end. So there is a difference there. But these, God is stating that these covenants are never ending. Every one of those covenants is said to apply to Abraham and his seed through Isaac. The scriptures have presented verse stacked upon verse that state that these covenants apply to Israel and not the church. In fact, the church was not even in view in the Old Testament. In fact, in the Old Testament, we could say that the church was a mystery, and it fully opened up in the New Testament. So we see that it is about Israel, not about the church. So there is a seed, both a spiritual and physical seed, a land, Canaan land, a throne, David's throne, and an everlasting relationship, and that is the new covenant promised to Israel and its people. I don't know, after having gone through book after book in the Bible, verse after verse in the Bible, how anyone can state that the covenant promises that were given to the nation of Israel have been given to the church. Because, well, what does the word everlasting mean? It means that it will go on forever. So we stated it, and I'll state it again here, for you to believe that God has transferred those covenants that he gave to the Israel to the church, then you have to believe that several things about God that are just impossible. You'd have to believe that he did not know the beginning from the end. You would have to believe that he was deceived, and we could go on and on. And I submit to you that God knew exactly where he was going, and I also submit to you that God gave us some passages of Scripture in the New Testament to make sure that the church would not get the idea that they had replaced the nation of Israel. And at some point, we will deal with them in the context of this study. Thank you for joining us today.